Hi, this is Dana Gardner, Principal Analyst at Inter Arbor Solutions, and you're listening to Briefings Direct. Thanks for joining this sponsored podcast discussion on how IT architectures for software as a service providers offer significant advantages over traditional enterprise IT architectures. We'll look at how one SaaS provider, Workday, has from the very beginning moved beyond relational databases and distributed architectures that date to the mid-1990s. Instead, to better accommodate business needs, Workday has designed its architecture to provide secure transactions, wider integrations, and deep analysis off of the same data source. The advantages of the modern services architecture can be passed on to the end users and across the ecosystem of business process partners, and all at significantly lower costs than conventional IT. I'm here now with a technology executive from Workday to explore how architecting properly provides the means to adapt and extend how businesses need to operate, but not be increasingly limited by how IT has operated. So please join me now in welcoming Petros Dermetsis. He's the Vice President of Development at Workday. Welcome to Briefings Direct, Petros.
Hello. Hello, Dana. How are you?
I'm very well. So what is it that is different about a Workday stack versus, say, traditional enterprise IT stacks?
So I think the luxury that Workday had at the very beginning was to start with an absolutely clean slate. Solutions, ERP solutions, evolved over time and started adding technology solutions as problems occurred. I think we had a unique opportunity to be able to stand back and seeing what history provided and evolution provided over the past 20 years and saying, okay, how can we provide one technology stack that starts addressing all those individual problems that started appearing over time?
So it sounds as if a SaaS provider like Workday almost has the luxury of working the problem rather than working many problems, perhaps those being what it is that was already in place that you need to use to support other applications. So tell me about this clean slate. How important is that? How big of an advantage is that?
I think it's a huge advantage. In fact, if you look at most ERP vendors, as problems started occurring in terms of initially, for example, right, what we need to do is report off data, and you very quickly realize that as like you're climbing a Maslow's hierarchy of needs, when you get your basic reporting right, you need to start analyzing data. So the technologies at the time around the relational models don't actually address that very well, and then you find other industries appearing, like business intelligence and BI vendors, to try and solve those problems. What we try to do at Workday, understand holistically what the current problems are as of today, and saying, okay, this is a golden opportunity, as opposed to try and find all existing technologies and cobble them all together and try and solve the problems exactly the same way, is a totally different, innovative approach to addressing those problems.
And I have to imagine, too, that the requirements are different. Back then, when ERP was just coming into the mainstream, this was about just getting a handle over processes, but really now we're at the point of refinement and extending processes. So it's a different set of requirements.
Oh, yes. I think if you go back in time when mainframes started appearing, it was really about transactions. It was about capturing transactions and safeguarding those transactions. So IT was at the center of the universe, and they call the shots. As you evolve over time, you begin to realize that departmental solutions, departments wanted their own solutions, and they try to extract the data and taking them into areas such as spreadsheets or what have you for further analysis. So obviously, they were solving the problem incrementally as they're going along, but what we try to do is address it all in the same place. So we went from where we are right now is what I would describe as a very business transaction centric in what I define as legacy applications. Then we want to take it to an area which is business interactions. And interactions can happen from humans or machines.
Right. And just for the edification of our listeners, Workday is focused on human resources management and other I suppose we could call them employment-related issues, but also increasingly moving into a larger ERP and business application set. But the important fact here, I think, is that in human resources, you need to relate to other outside entities. Maybe it's payroll, maybe it's insurance or healthcare. So this puts you in a really interesting position of mastering the integrations something that's probably going to become more important with cloud computing and other aspects of business over the coming years.
Well, that's correct. If you think of the majority of the systems which are out there, the way I describe them were built from the ground up as islands. It was really, they're very data-centric, and the whole idea was this ERP system gave all solutions, which in reality that's not true. You know, if you're managing any system with the human resource management systems, you need to communicate with other systems, be it for background checks, for providing information to benefit providers, connecting to third-party payrolls or what have you. So where we are right now, I think the state of the art is hardwiring most of the central solution to these third-party solutions, and that basically doesn't scale. And that's where technology kicks in, and you have to adopt new open standards and web services standards.
All right, let's drill down a bit, if we could, into existing legacy architecture. Was the right architecture for the job, but the job has changed? But what can be done? As you mentioned earlier, people have incrementally added on over the years more and more at this sort of bolt-on sort of a mentality. What's wrong with that, and what can be done to perhaps move in a new direction?
Yes, I'd actually describe it feels more like an onion. We keep on adding more and more and more layers as vendors, and the more the poor customers are trying to unpeel it, the more they start crying. And the crying responds in terms of maintenance and maintenance dollars. So I think just to introduce the basic concept of how applications are being built, they've been built with the idea of storing and managing and safeguarding the transactions. Applications are built on top of relational databases to date, and then they've been designed thinking about the end user being someone sitting in front of a browser interacting with the system. But really, they were designed around capturing the transaction and be able to report straight off that transaction. The idea of integrating with third parties was an afterthought. So being an afterthought, what happened was you find this new industry emerging, which was around ETL tools and integration tools, it was a realization that we have to coexist with other systems. And what happens, they bolted on these integration third-party systems straight onto the database. Sounds very good. However, all the business logic, all the security, and all how the whole data structure hangs together is known by the application and not by the database. So really, when you bolt on an integration technology on the side, you lose all that, and you have to recreate it in this third-party technology. Similarly, is when it comes to reporting, I think relational technology has done a phenomenal job with the use of SQL in actually producing reports, what I will define as two-dimensional reports, for producing lists and matrix reports and summary reports. But eventually, if you want to, as business evolves, you need to analyze data, and you have to create this idea of dimensionality. Well, another industry was created, which got bolted back onto the database level, which is the analytic, which created cubes. And in fact, what they used was object-oriented technologies and in-memory solutions for reasons of performance to be able to analyze your data. And this is currently the state of the art.
And this is fairly expensive, and when you have to go and buy the bolt-on, you have to manage the integrations yourself, you have to troubleshoot where it's going to break or it's brittle, and then, of course, you have to add what you can for security and maintenance over time to upkeep that level of security. We're talking about some significant costs. So why don't we address that, if we could? Why is this bolt-on approach not just problematic technologically, but also very expensive?
Well, that's absolutely true. In fact, If you think about it, it's not. You can actually buy something. You can buy an older application, a legacy application. You can bolt on these integrations and analytic components to it. You can get up and running, and everyone's happy. But then things are never stable. Vendors update things, change things. They upgrade. They apply fixes and patches. Change their data models, and what have you. And immediately, although you're doing that to the central application, you've in effect alienated and broken these third-party bolt-ons. And customers, IT shops, have got hundreds and hundreds of integrations hanging off this thing. And the time comes, they don't want to accept anything, not even a bug fix from a vendor, because they know they're going to break their integrations. And that's just maintainability, and that's just dollars and dollars and dollars that you need to spend to maintain things. And which actually hampers you to the idea of you can't get new functionality, new innovative solutions, because as soon as you go back and you start changing things, you're going downstream, the costs are huge.
So with Workday or any SaaS provider that's architecting for the future, you're able to address some of these issues through your architecture, but you're also able to add new technology based on the architecture, not as an adjunct or an additional product. This is happening behind the scenes that you're doing, and you're able to improve your security, keep up any patches that you need to do, while at the same time increasing the frequency through which these end users can enjoy these improvements. So we've got, I think, two benefits here. One, the initial architecture, and two, the fact that you're managing all that maintenance. So please tell me a little bit more about why these two aspects are important and what you did to make it improved over the past systems.
Yes, really the way things evolved, you started with an application, integrations was an afterthought, so you got bolted on, analytics was an afterthought, and that got bolted on. So really what we tried to do at Workday, starting from a complete white sheet of paper, was saying, how can we, the reality around ERP systems is actually making all this work together. You want your transaction, you want your validations, you want to secure your data, and at the same time, you want access to that data and to be able to analyze it. So that's the problem we try to set out to do. The best way of doing that, it really affected, that drove what our technology architecture was. So for a start, we have a very simple mentality. You have a central system that stores transactions and is making sure it's safe, secure, encrypted, and all these great words. But at the same time, that we appreciate that systems, as well as humans, interact with this central transactional system. So we treat them not as an afterthought, but as equal citizens. So really, if you do that, so any request that comes into our system, be it from a UI or from a third-party system via integrations, we treat them exactly the same way. They go through exactly the same security, functional application security. It knows exactly what the structure of your system, of your object model is. It gets validated exactly the same way, and then it serves back the answer. So that fundamental principle solved most of our integration problems. On the integration side, what we did was we just work off open standards. The only way that you can talk with a third-party system with Workday is through web services. And those services are contracts that we respect to the outside world. We may change things internally. That's our problem. We're a SaaS vendor, and we do modify things and we add things. But those external contracts, which are the web services talking to third-party systems, we respect and we don't change. So in effect, we do not break the integrations. So the next one is about analyzing data. So as I said, there's a lot of technologies out there that does a very good job at lists and matrix reporting. And eventually, most of these things actually end up in spreadsheets where people do further analysis. But the dream that we try to, that we're aiming for continuously is when you're on a screen, a user is looking at a screen, and you see a number. That number could be an accumulation of counts that you would be really interested on clicking on and finding out what those counts are, name of applicants or name of positions or what have you, or number of assets that you have. Or it's an accumulation. You look at a balance sheet. You look at a big number. You want to click and figure out what comprises that number. So to do that, you have to have that analytical component and your transactional component all in the same place. You can't afford what I call IOs. It's a huge penalty to go back and forth a relational database and a disk. So that forces you to bring everything into memory because people expect to click something and within Earth time get a response. So that forces you to be in memory. When you're traversing, you come through a number on a balance sheet, and as you're drilling around, what you're really doing in effect, you're traversing an object model underneath, and you should be able to get that for nothing. So our technology solutions that we opted for was this totally in-memory object model that allows us to do the basic embedded analytics and taking action on everything you see on the screen.
And that common approach with that juxtaposition of the logic and the data also allows you to update your system without worrying about all of those bolted on aspects breaking, which gets us back to that ability to update and refresh and deliver new benefits fairly rapidly.
Oh, that's absolutely true as well. As soon as you can have the luxury of maintaining one system, let's call it one code line, and you're hanging what we define our customers, our tenants, off that one single code line, that immediately, and there's some other bits of technology which you add to that, we're a totally metadata-driven technology stack, is allows you to do very, very frequent upgrades or updates or new releases, if you wish, to that central code line, because you only have to maintain one thing. So right now what we do is we put out what we describe as updates three times a year. So very, very quickly, you put new applications, new features, and new innovations into the hands of your customers. And being all in one central place, we get immediate feedback on the usage, which we can enhance, and we just keep on going on and keep on adding more and more and more. Something which was an absolute luxury in your legacy stack, which for you to take a complete release, you had to live through all the breakages that we mentioned before around integrations and the analytic component.
So I wonder if you could explain a bit more about that persistence layer. You started to get into it a bit with the metadata and whatnot. Explain that a bit more in more detail, if you would.
So the persistence layer, the way we do things at Workday is, and it's really forced by the analytical component, but when you're analyzing information, it has to perform extremely fast. So you only have one option, and that option is called memory. So you have to bring everything up in memory. We do use a relational component, but not as a relational database. We use a relational database, which is what it's really good at. And it's good at securing your data, encrypting your data, backing up your data, restoring it, replicating it, on all these great utilities the database give you. But we don't use a relational model. We use an object model, which is all in memory. But you need to store things somewhere. In fact, we have a belief along Workday that the disk, which is more the relational component, is the future tape. So basically what you used to use in legacy system as putting things on tape for a safety reason and archiving reason, we use a disk. And we actually believe moving forward, if you look at the future, that nearly everything will be done exclusively in memory.
Right. So the architecture is destiny, and we can see the architecture is shifting. I'm wondering if I'm a enterprise IT individual, and I really understand the architecture, and I enjoy your position of being able to do it the right way from your vantage point, but I can't. I have other restrictions. I have this large installed base that I need to maintain. How is it that these can coexist? How is it that a SaaS provider like Workday integrates to Enterprise XYZ with a lot of legacy ERP? What's the connection points there?
The main connections that you have with systems is when you want to start creating applications of sharing information from other systems. The technology, as I mentioned before, when it comes to integrations, the only way you talk to Workday is via web services. Now, not all systems, we still have systems that require a flat file or a common delimited file that we need to send to them. That's the point where we have a technology around our enterprise service bus, our integration server that actually talks the language that we do, standards web service based with Workday, but at the same time is able to transform any bit of that information to whatever the receiving component want, being it if it's a bank EDI file format or whatever is out there. So we provide the technology into the hands of our customers to be able to ratchet down, I probably should use, the latest technology to whatever other file structures that they currently have. And we provide that to our customers so they can connect them to the card scanning systems or security systems or badging systems or even their own financial systems that they may have in-house.
Hmm. So I suppose the point there is that you're forwards compatible, if you will, based on our earlier discussion points about being able to move to the future, bring in new technologies, and keep up to date with security and other best practices, but you're also backwards compatible based on your architecture for integration.
That's correct. In fact, the beauty of working with forward-thinking companies, and I'll give an example of Salesforce, our integrations with Salesforce is totally web services talking to web services. Straightforward. We've got a contract called web service. They have a similar contract. It just works. Whatever we do, whatever they do, however much they rev it and we rev it, we don't break each other. It's a whole different conversation when you're trying to integrate, some of our payroll output into one of our customers who has an SAP system financials. So we're going to have to ratchet that down all the way to whatever file format that party vendor has. But we can do it, and we have the technology to provide, put it in the hands of our customers.
So the architecture you've been describing at Workday, it not only benefits the end user, not only provides the forwards and backwards compatibility, but you've also architected for your own business model, I'm assuming, which involves the need for multi-tenancy. You want to provide the lowest cost services for your own business model, but that, I suppose, also has architectural benefits. So tell me a little bit about how the architecture relates to multi-tenancy and why that's important for you as an organization.
Yeah, the most, I would say that multi-tenancy is one of the core ingredients if you want to become a SaaS vendor. Now, I'm not an advocate of saying this multi-tenancy A is better than this other multi-tenancy B. There's different ways you can actually solve the multi-tenancy problems. You can do it at the database level, you can do it at the application level, you can do it at the hardware level. So there's not real one that says the right one or the wrong one. The main difference is, what does it cost? So we believe in one single code line, and multiple tenants are sharing that single code line. That reduces all our efforts around revving it and updating it. All we're looking at is one single code line that we have to maintain and secure continuously. That does result in cost savings for the vendor, in other words, ourselves. And as far back as I can remember, when humans realize that you take time and material and then you package that for a profit and you send it to your end market, and as soon as you can reduce your cost of the time or the material, you can reduce that cost, you can either pocket the difference or move that cost saving onto your customers. We believe that multi-tenancy is one of the key ingredients of reducing the cost of maintenance that we have internally, whilst at the same time allows us to rev new innovative applications out to the market and very quickly and get feedback for it, and pass that cost savings on to our customers, which then they can take that and invest in whatever they do, making carpets, yogurts, or electric motors.
And if this architectural approach, with its benefits around analytics, integration, the single source code, and the multi-tenancy values, with the ability to adapt quickly and pass those updates along without disruption, all of that sort of, to me, points up to almost a revolution in how IT is conducted. What does that mean for organizations that don't take the plunge, whether they do this on their own architectures or they start to use more of the outside providers? It almost sounds like there's going to be a sort of a haves or have-nots split in the market in terms of how people adopt to these new IT economics.
Yeah, it's always, you know, when it comes with I would actually say that this is, we are living through, or we are creating a revolution in the ERP industry. And as always, you have early adopters, and at the other end of the bell-shaped curve, you got the laggards. What we're finding as it's actually, when you're talking to forward-thinking, modern-thinking, profit-oriented, innovative companies, it's very quickly they appreciate that the way to go is the SaaS. Now, there's got a bunch of questions, and most of the questions are around security and is my data safe? And we have a lot of a huge variety of ways of actually assuring our customers that it's actually probably more safe in our environment than what it is on premise. But, you know, some customers will uptake it, will wait, and some will just jump in the pool with everyone else. What we're finding now, we're in our fifth year of existence, it's very interesting to see how our customers are scaling from the small, lower end to huge, huge companies and huge corporations right now that are actually running on Workday.
And what could we look to in the future if we go back to that future-proofing benefit? The architecture that you're using, the benefits and value that you're able to pass along in terms of functional improvements more rapidly adopted, and these economic benefits, what's next? Is there a benefit to going into the mobile tier? Are there benefits of adopting other source applications, that is to say cloud computing or third-party ecosystems? What by doing this architecture properly can we expect as new trends in IT and business unfold?
Well, one of the things that moves incredibly fast in the markets is actually where humans interact. In other words, if you think way back when, there were green screens, and then we moved to client servers, where everything was based on the Windows-based machines, and then you move into the internet, so you get to touching more and more and more users. And right now, I think the next revolution is around mobile and devices. So I believe that there's two types of users normally in an enterprise: the users which are the administrative users, the ones who are the HR partners, it's the procurement clerks, everyone that actually needs the back-end system, and there's a one way to address that. They normally sit in front of their computers and browsers most of the day. But then again, then you have the other population, the real population of a company, which is the operational side. that have got, in effect, they don't even want to care if they have a back-end ERP system. And I believe where the future there is, they will interact with the back-end, which without even knowing it's there, via mobile devices. So the trick here is, how can you provide a similar functionality that you have on a browser-based system onto the devices very, very simply and quickly? And by the way, the device world is changing continuously. I mean, the interaction that you get from an iPhone is very, very different than what you get from an Android or what you will get from a BlackBerry. So that comes back to the vendor. The way you should be architecting your product is should be end user or end device agnostic as much as possible. And I think that's where the future is. And I think some devices like that come out of Apple, you have to go native because people expect a certain user behavior. And the better job we do there, they don't even have to care if Workday is on the back end. They can do their expenses. They can do their time off reporting. They can do their approvals. Whilst the other devices, which are more, will be sort of browser-based devices on these devices, which requires something more like an HTML technology to be able to provide the solutions of those devices. So your back-end technology must be able to be versatile enough to keep up with that growing device evolution that's going on right now.
So it sounds like we're back to that conundrum of the onion, where we've got yet another layer now is managing how the mobile tier and various devices within that mobile environment relate back to the logic and the data. This is for IT, not a minor trivial issue, but a SaaS provider is going to work this through. They have to, and they probably are well on their way to doing it.
That's exactly right. It comes back to technology again. What we have on the back end, the way we build our business logic, the business logic is agnostic if the request comes in from a user or a system, as I mentioned before. When it comes from a user, the people who actually build the business logic itself have got no control over what it looks like. Now, what does that mean? From a technology point of view, they focus on the business logic and the validation in that behavior, and the tool will take care of rendering it on a browser or on a mobile device. So, yet again, today we're talking about we're a Flex-based front-end the browser. Tomorrow it's Silverlight, it's HTML5, whatever as it is. Yet again, the way you architect your product, you should be able to always be on the latest and greatest technology out there without having to rewrite your application.
Well, great. I'm afraid we'll have to leave it there. We've been discussing the advantages of a modern services architecture and how those benefits can be passed on to users and extend both in terms of forwards compatibility and also legacy or backwards compatibility. And we've been, I suppose, comparing and contrasting this to what a lot of enterprises have as a vestige of the 1990s in terms of their IT. I want to thank our guests. We've been talking about this with Petros Dermetsis. He's the Vice President of Development at Workday. Thank you, Petros.
Dana, thank you for your time.
This is Dana Gardner, Principal Analyst at Inter Arbor Solutions. You've been listening to a sponsored Briefings Direct podcast. Thanks for listening, and come back next time.